Welcome to the Research Impact podcast series. I am your host, Jenny Roach, and I'm a member of the University of Limerick Research Impact Committee. On today's podcast, I will be talking to Dr. Hugh Gainey, recipient of the President's Research Excellence and Impact Award for Early Career Researchers. Dr. Gainey's research is taking on the global challenge of energy storage. Through advances in novel materials, Dr. Gainey's research brings together discoveries in chemical synthesis, materials science, and electrochemistry to tackle the many challenges of energy storage. Global energy crisis has never been more prevalent. In the race to deploy more electric vehicles, better utilize wind, solar, and alternative energy solutions, many challenges emerge. Among these is the need for faster, smaller, environmentally friendly battery technology. It is this particular challenge which has grabbed the attention of Dr. Gainey, who has contributed more than 10 years working in this field. Great to be here with you today, Hugh. So I'm going to start by asking you a few questions about your research. So the first question is, how important is the area of battery storage?
Thanks, Jenny, and it's great to be here as well. I'm delighted to be able to chat about the research. So I think that the place to start is to say, at the minute, it is incredibly important. And as we move forward, it's going to become even more important. So we all, luckily, from my side in trying to explain the importance here, we have a feel for the importance of batteries in our lives already. So we all use laptops. We all have mobile phones that are based on lithium-ion technology. And what I might do maybe through the podcast is talk through some of the different technologies that we have already and what's maybe coming downstream. So everything at the minute is primarily based on lithium-ion battery technology. So again, that's in your mobile phones, it's in your laptops, it's also in all of the emerging electric vehicles, and it's used then sometimes at larger scale storage for things like wind energy, where you need to store some of that energy. The problem with it is that lithium technology is excellent and it has been refined and kind of incrementally improved over the last 30 years since it was commercialized. But as we move forward, as we want to have a higher rollout of electric vehicles, as we want to have more of the large scale storage, when we move to exclusively renewable sources, we just won't be able to meet all of those goals based on lithium. So what we need to do is we need to have kind of an infrastructure on the energy storage side where we have multiple technologies that can fit specific roles. So as I said, lithium-ion is really important at the minute, but it is kind of only the tip of the iceberg in terms of the energy storage infrastructure that we need to develop. And what will happen is if we try and make all of these technologies based around lithium, that we will run out eventually. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is we need to improve lithium-based technologies, which we're trying to do as part of our research, and also look at beyond lithium-ion, which will meet the future needs as well. So we need to look at alternative chemistries, and this for being a chemist is great in the field, in that we can look at beyond lithium. So we can use the learnings that we have from all of the development that has been made in lithium-ion batteries and apply it to things like sodium-ion batteries, potassium-ion batteries. Similar-ish elements, and that's the other thing to say is we basically have the full periodic table of elements to play with. You know, as chemists, we can start to look at the different elements there. We can look at the compounds that we can form and basically assess their performance in different batteries. And that's the really exciting part for us is to use it almost as a playground where we can try and pull out the real key performance that we need to get. So if it's sustainability, look at more sustainable materials. If it's real high performance, then look at the ones that are going to give us the real bang for our buck in terms of that performance.
And is there a particular area that you're looking at or focusing in on in terms of those elements? Or
There is. Yeah. So, I mean, some of the key expertise in UL is on the group 14 elements. So the kind of state-of-the-art lithium-ion battery technology at the minute, you have an anode, you have a cathode, and you have an electrolyte. They're basically the three similar components across any battery that you have. And what you're trying to do is essentially optimize each of those components individually and then as a combination. So what we're focused on primarily in UL is on the anode side, which is the negative electrode. The state of the art at the minute is using graphite, which is basically pencil lead. I mean, it's carbon-based material. It's really abundant. But the problem with it is that the capacity of it is quite low. So even though we have really good lithium-ion batteries that you can drive to Dublin on a single charge on, we can push that, what's called the energy density, or the amount of energy you can store in a given volume or weight, we can push that higher by replacing it with elements. So some of the elements that we're looking at is things like silicon and also germanium as kind of a curiosity element beyond that. So that's where you could have increased performance, but then it's the logistics of getting it from the low TRL, which is the technology readiness level, low TRL up to higher TRL. And that's kind of where we fit in.
So Hugh, a very simple question, but an important one for me, and I'm sure for some of our listeners. So how does a battery work?
Okay, well, hopefully it's a simple one for me to answer, but there is lots of chemistry at play as well. So these three main components that we have in any battery, which is the anode, which is the negative electrode, and then you have a separator that has some sort of electrolyte in it, and then you have a cathode material. So again, from the state-of-the-art side of things, our anode is based on graphite, so that's carbon-based. We have an electrolyte, which is based on carbonates. Basically, it's a liquid solution that you have in there, and the role of that is to transport ions, which are positively charged particles, between your cathode and your anode. And it basically depends on the direction of travel for those positively charged ions as to whether you're charging or discharging the battery. So on the cathode side of things, then we usually have a lithium containing material. So something like a lithium metal oxide. The lithium that's in that compound can travel from the cathode to the anode. And we essentially reversibly move those lithium pluses between the cathode and the anode. So as the positively charged ions are moving in one direction, the negatively charged electrons travel outside in the external circuit and they move in the opposite direction, and that's your current. So essentially, when you're charging a battery, you're driving the positively charged ions in one direction, and when you're discharging it, you're going in the other direction. So what's nice for us is we can individually improve each of those components, but what we have to be sure of is that they work together. So you could make an individual anode material that in principle is wonderful, but you have to be sure that it's compatible with the electrolyte and also with the cathode.
Great. And so how did you become interested in this field of research?
So it's funny in that my PhD was done here in UL, actually. So I finished in 2012. From a chemistry background, and my PhD was almost exclusively synthesis. So basically, I made materials in the lab. And what I noticed over the last kind of year of my PhD is we were doing these lovely nanomaterials. We were able to grow them in solution, and we had lovely images and microscopy that we could do. But from reviewers, there was starting to be kind of a pushback where they were looking for, how can this be used in applications? How can you get applications from this? So basically, I knew that I needed to move on. I needed to do a postdoc somewhere. And I specifically targeted then getting experience in energy storage, and ultimately brought that back then. So I did a 4-year postdoc in UCC. And then based on some of the things that I had learned there, came back to UL. And in the meantime, the UL battery research had kind of kicked off. So I left and it kicked off. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. I came back and I was able to bring in some of my own expertise that I had gotten in UCC and added to that kind of emerging research here.
That's wonderful. And I suppose you've talked about it a little bit, but it'd be good to know in a bit more detail, and if you could explain to the listeners what the impact of your research is and how it might change the world.
Okay, this is it. I don't think it is. It is too far a stretch. And in some ways, it's being a contributor to the overall growth of knowledge in the area. So like I said, there's different strands to the research. There's the lithium ion development, where we're trying to push it up through the TRL scales now at the minute. So this is work that we've been working on in UL for 10 years at this stage. And through things like Horizon 2020 and Horizon Europe projects, we're able to interact then with some SMEs and also larger industry, where we can start to test these materials out in prototypes. So, for example, we have a project that's ongoing called SiDrive, SiDrive, and we're interacting with CRF, who are the research wing of Fiat, for example. So what we're looking at doing there is as I said, basically taking our starting material that we think is a wonder material at some level, and then getting feedback from industry partners, trying to upscale it in terms of making it into larger cells, prototypes. And then with that interaction with the industry partners is delivering what they actually need. Because sometimes for us, we make materials kind of at a fundamental level, at a low TRL, and try them out in the lab and then try and publish a paper. So we want to be sure that we're not just stopping at that. We want to get beyond that, what's called the valley of death in the middle of development. We want to get beyond that and really deliver impact and try and move this closer to industry.
And it sounds like you're already very connected to industry and lots of the different aspects of the project. But how in particular does UL support you on this research journey and to connect and make the research more impactful?
So I would say that the support we've had from UL is fantastic. So I can talk at length really about the battery research that's going on in UL. We're now in a very fortunate position that we have 5 PIs who are working extensively on battery chemistry development. So we all have our individual groups, we're able to collaborate, we have our different strengths that we bring together, and we can also go off on our own individual tangents as well. In terms of the infrastructure then, as part of a recent SFI infrastructure grant, we're actually in the process of really upscaling the equipment that we have. So within the lab, we have a shared lab between all the PIs that I mentioned, and we have probably of the order of 40 researchers between PhDs and postdocs who are working on batteries in some form. So some of those are different chemistries, some of them are lithium ion, some of them are sodium ion, potassium ion, basically you name it, we're trying it out. And we have all of the support at Bernal then in terms of the infrastructure that we need for testing. So basically our vision on the UL side of things was to make the Bernal and make the little cluster of researchers that we have the number one place in Ireland to do battery research. And I'm pretty confident we can, you know, honestly say that at this stage. Some of the infrastructure support that we have means that you can essentially make a material in the lab in the morning. You can characterize it downstairs, so you can look at it on different microscopes. You can look at the chemistry that's going on in it. You can assemble it in a cell, and then you can take it apart and analyze it again. So this is the whole part of the development that's exciting for us, is we can do that all in-house. So it's only when we interact with some of the European partners on those projects that we realize how incredibly lucky we are to do that. Some people, if they want to do microscopy or they want to do some sort of analysis after the battery is gone, they have to ship that to a partner and they might wait 6 months for the analysis. We can do that ourselves, and our postdocs and PhDs, they can be trained up in that technique as well. So they essentially become an all singing, all dancing battery developer themselves. So you have someone potentially with the chemistry or physics background, and they're able to get all of the kind of standard chemistry side of things, where they can make a material, they can then apply it to a battery, and they can get all the electrochemistry analysis done, and then they can look at the upscale of it as well. And the other thing on the UL side is we've a really good support from the research office. We really do, in terms of the support for individual funding applications. So we have a lot that have, some have been successful, some haven't. And in terms of coordinating the larger consortium-based ones. So for example, the SciDrive project that I mentioned is a 16-partner pan-European project where we have, I think, 8 different nationalities, universities, large industry, SMEs. So even just the logistics of getting that together and managing it from a project management side of things is full on, but it's really exciting.
Yeah, fantastic. And I wanted to ask you just about in relation to your own pathway, you know, what makes you curious then in your research and in terms of your next steps?
Okay. So I like not knowing things, and I would use that as kind of the kicking off part. So even if it's at a conference and someone presents something and I say, hang on, what are they showing there? Does that make sense? And I think, to be honest, I'm a kind of skeptical person. I think you need to be in the battery field. There's lots of big claims that are out there. There's people, you know, will claim that they have a battery that can drive from here to the moon and back. You know, there's lots of big claims, and some of that is kind of, you've probably seen the things where, you know, phone charges in 30 seconds can last 100 years. That type of stuff is definitely out there. Yeah. So making sense of it from the chemistry side of things, the material side of things, and knowing how we can develop better materials by using that approach. So, as I said, taking it the whole way through and then almost doing a Sherlock Holmes type of saying, where did this go wrong? What is the real nitty gritty chemistry angle that is responsible for the battery failing? Or why is, I mean, some of the stuff you see with lithium ion batteries, for example, is things like thermal runaway, which is pretty dramatic, where you see Teslas on fire on the side of the road.
Yeah.
You know, so it's by understanding those mechanisms that lead to something as catastrophic as that, that really allows you to develop better batteries in the first place.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's an amazing area, actually, and of course, something that impacts all of our lives in so many different ways. So before we kind of come to the end of our session, I just wanted to ask you, for you, where next? Where to from here? What's your future area or focus for your research, do you see?
Well, I would say the world is our oyster, really, in that in some ways, you know, we have a lot of research that we have done already, and there's still so much more that we can do. So, like I said, lithium-ion batteries are going to be around despite all of the material shortages and issues around that. Conservatively, for the next 20 years, lithium is still probably going to be king. Mm-hmm. And what will happen is as we develop alternative batteries, they're not going to just replace it. It's never going to be a case of, here's my wonder battery, it replaces everything else and we throw away all the learnings that we have. It's that we now have parallel streams of this research and ultimately the technology. So for the lithium ion stuff that's already very mature, I would suggest that we continue as we are in trying to move it up the TRL scale. So going from the lab, going to the prototype level, and the way that scale works is it's from 1 to 9. Basically at 1, it's an idea in someone's head, or it fundamentally works at a physics level almost. And then at 9, it's ready for deployment. So what we need to do is have a pipeline where we have things moving from 3 to 5, and then also supplementing the 1s and 2s as well, because it's having that balance between the applied research where we're trying to upscale and make things practical, and still having the really exciting new science that we can tuck into. So for me personally, some of the stuff that I'm looking at is on what I'd say is the higher energy density side of things. So the idea with this is, again, if we take our EV side of things, you would be able to drive twice the range for a given pack size, for example. So trying to come up with new chemistries that allow us to do that. The thing to say is there's no free lunch really when it comes to energy storage. So the reason that, for example, those battery fires are so catastrophic or so impressive to look at is because you're essentially releasing all of the energy that's in that battery at once. Mm. So that is what is causing that. So you imagine if you increase the energy density by a factor of 2, you're storing more and more energy in there. And again, there's trade-offs to be had here. So definitely on the higher energy density, it's pushing the fundamental science, how we solve some of the real key hurdles on things like metal anodes. I don't want to go too much into the chemistry specifics maybe, but metal anodes is definitely an area of interest. So that would increase the energy density. And it's some of the more unusual chemistries as well that will just, as I said, kind of supplement the lithium ion in the long term and maybe take over some of the higher performance niches then in the long term.
Many thanks for your time today, Hugh, and congratulations on your award. Your work truly exemplifies research excellence with impact in the area of energy storage. You have been listening to Dr. Hugh Gainey, Department of Chemical Sciences, Faculty of Science and Engineering, Bernal Institute, who is the winner of University of Limerick's President's Research Excellence and Impact Early Career Researcher Awards 2022. This research is supported by Science Foundation Ireland, Irish Research Council, and Horizon 2020, and Horizon Europe. If you would like to hear more about research impact at the University of Limerick, please go to our website, ul.ie/research. Thanks for listening.